All right, everyone, this is Adam Prutzok from Audio Production Horror Stories, and I hope you guys liked my last upload, James Lewis, A Story About a Metapsychotic. But tonight, I'm going back to my roots, and by that I mean my mini-series, which is why I started this podcast in the first place, Slappy and the Dead Girl. I published the first part about 2 weeks ago, and yeah, we left off with our characters. Tony killed Jessica, and it was in a very, not a very flattering way, or it was a terrible, terrible way for any human being to go scared and alone like that, especially in front of somebody who she trusted him. So he betrayed her trust and ultimately caused her to die a horrible, horribly painful and scary death. And where it's going to go from now is we are going to see Tony's actual girlfriend that he lives with. And her name is Karen, and she is originally from Poland. And the scene is going to take off the day after what happened with Tony. And I hope you guys all enjoy it. Without further ado, here we go. Darkness. The sound of waves crashing into each other. Oceanfront. Virginia Beach. 2008. Outside is the Virginia Beach boardwalk on a hot summer day. A giant statue of King Neptune welcomes the natives and tourists alike. There's haunted houses, head shops, frozen yogurt stands, oxygen bars, fresh seafood restaurants, and a gift shop for about every five people. There is a strange-looking building out in the distance that looks out of place. It's antiquated compared to the rest of the architecture. Inside, a 23-year-old Polish woman named Karen is patiently waiting for her name to be called at a psychiatrist's office. She is soft-spoken, polite, and very attractive. She picks up an old copy of Rolling Stone magazine while she waits. Sitting next to her in the waiting area is a mentally incapacitated individual who is drooling all over himself. His home healthcare worker wipes the drool from his chin with a tissue and puts it back in her purse. There is a 30-something flamboyant medical male assistant named Jonathan sitting at the front desk with a shiny bald head and equipped with gold jewelry. He is making phone calls to patients, confirming appointments. The building looks decrepit on the outside and almost condemned at first glance. The waiting area, however, seems clean with newer furniture, modern computers, desks, and office supplies. Jonathan approaches Karen for her paperwork. "Here you are, Miss Kowalski. There's your insurance card and ID back. Now could I just get you to sign our privacy policy?" He hands her a pen and Karen signs the paper. "Here, and once more there, and this is your copy. Oh, and Miss Kowalski, one more thing. You forgot to write down your reason for today's visit." "Oh, I can't sleep." "So you have insomnia? Is that what it's called?" Jonathan writes down on her patient card, "Yes, ma'am. Dr. Adamchuk will go over treatment options with you. Can I get you a bottle of water while you wait?" Karen seems very jittery. "No, thank you, I'm fine." "Well, the doctor will call you back here shortly. If you need anything, let me know. My name is Jonathan." Jonathan leaves to answer the phone. Karen opens up her purse. Inside, she has a can of mace, menthol cigarettes, and a sharp, curved folding knife. There is a TV in the waiting room. A news segment is playing. A grim story tonight in Sandbridge Beach. We go live with Blake Kessler on location. A very sad morning in a quiet beach community on what appears to be a graphic overdose. The coroner is not yet sure if it is accidental. Standing next to me here is Officer Derek Clay of the Virginia Beach Police Department. Officer, what was the drug found on the site of this apparent overdose?
Well, so far there were many things found in the victim's bedroom, ranging from crack cocaine, marijuana, and a very powerful opiate known as carfentanil. It's usually used as a filler for when a drug dealer cuts heroin before he distributes it on the street. But this one was 100% pure. It is a shock because this is not something normally found in this area. Oftentimes, drug users will get together, one of them would take too much, they would overdose, their friends will get scared and leave them there.
And is that what this appears to be, or is there foul play suspected?
Well, right now we're puzzled. We are fairly certain there's been a robbery here at this residence. A paperboy reported the incident early this morning. The front door was left open, but what we are trying to understand is that there were a number of narcotics left at the scene. It would seem strange that someone would leave several hundred dollars in drugs behind for the sole purpose of taking a few electronics. We found several wires and cables lying on the floor that may indicate someone took some old-school stereo equipment.
And have you since released the name of the victim?
Not at this point in time. But I can tell you she's female, early 20s. As of right now, the next of kin has not been notified. But considering the scene, I can tell you we suspect the victim may have been a prostitute.
Officer, tell us what happens when a person overdoses on this drug, carfentanil?
Well, first the victim's breathing starts to slow down. Their heart rate suppresses to a dangerously slow rate. All of your organs start to fail, and then brain damage occurs. After that is when things get really scary. The victim foams at the mouth, and the news segment keeps going. Karen's eyes are glued to the TV. Until she receives a text message from Tony. Text from Tony.
You need to stop ignoring me. I know you love and respect me the same way I do you. Shelley told me where you are, and I know why you're at the doctor. There's no cure for lovesickness, babe. We both must give in to our desires. It's the only thing that will make you feel better.
Karen starts to text back when the doctor walks into the waiting area.
Miss Kowalski? I'm Dr. Adamczyk. You can come on back.
Dr. Adamczyk is dressed very snazzy. He has a motorcycle helmet on his desk, a leather bomber jacket is slung over his office chair, and a large replica of Edvard Munch's painting The Scream is hanging in the background. Karen is leaned back in a recliner chair made by Herman Miller, with her feet up on the ottoman.
How are you this morning, Miss Kowalski?
Again, my name is Dr. Adamczyk.
Oh, you have a beautiful office.
Thank you. I decorated it myself. The building is currently being renovated.
Well, you have good taste.
So how can I help you?
I mean, I don't even know where to start. I've just been feeling so emotionally drained lately, like I don't even have the drive to even get out of bed anymore.
Dr. Adamczyk begins typing on his laptop.
I'm going to take some notes here, Miss Kowalski. These are only for my records. Don't let me slow you down. Now, how long have you been feeling this way?
Karen takes a deep breath.
I honestly have no idea, but it's just, you know how life can be. It gets away from you sometimes.
Well, has there been any extraordinary change in your home?
In your home life? A death, perhaps?
Or have you had any problems with a relationship?
Karen laughs a high-pitched, nervous laugh. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. Well, we can talk about that.
No, I'm sorry. I really don't want to. No, thank you.
Miss Kowalski, it's actually very important to be honest with me. A doctor-patient relationship will only work if we establish some form of trust. Otherwise, I can't help you.
It's just my ex. We actually still live together. I want to get out, but for financial reasons, we can't get out of this lease.
I see.
You see, even if I just leave, and Tony can't pay the rent, my name is on it, and it would destroy, I don't know, my credit report?
Your credit score.
I'm not used to these customs. In Poland, we pay off what we owe, that's it. We don't get, how you say, a reward for paying them off. We say where I'm from, this is a harmful system.
Well, other than finances, what else is troubling you?
My best friend Shelley is staying with us. Also, I'm pretty sure they are sleeping together, too.
The doctor looks very concerned.
Okay, let's take a step back here, a second, Miss Kowalski. Tell me more about this person, Shelley, and your boyfriend.
He is my ex, and Shelley is not really a friend. We worked together at a discount sunglasses kiosk in the mall. She had nowhere to go at the time, so I let her stay with me until she got her paycheck, but she never left.
And this person, Tony, is sexually attracted to you both?
Karen's mouth is getting very dry.
Yes. Sometimes I can hear them at night in my... in mine and Tony's old room.
And you attribute this to be a source of your stress and quite possibly your insomnia.
Karen is holding back tears.
Yes.
The doctor hands her a box of tissues.
Tony can be, how you say, aggressive when he drinks. My uncle sends me Zambruka. We drink this a lot. We have good liquor in Poland. He drank almost the whole bottle, and he yells at me, says hurtful things about my figure.
Well, that's completely inappropriate. Is there any physical altercations?
Karen looks confused.
I'm asking, does he hit you? Based on what I've heard so far, if you were under 18, I would have to call the police. But since you are... how old?
I'm 23.
And you can't! It would embarrass him, and I would be on the streets with no one.
We will get back to that. Now, I saw on my portal you were taking Zoloft and Xanax.
Karen is wiping away tears.
Your computer told you that? That was like a long time ago.
Yes, Ms. Kowalski, this information is saved in our system for reasons that not only benefit you, but for myself and my colleagues. We do our homework here, Ms. Kowalski. Can you remember why you stopped taking those?
It was so long ago, I just didn't like the way they made me feel.
Ms. Kowalski, I have been trained for years in this profession. I have heard lots of excuses, and what you just said is one of the most common ones. We need to get you a new attitude, so to speak. Any foggy side effects will go away in time, but you need to get in the game. Do you understand?
Karen nods her head.
Now step up on the scale, shoes off. Karen takes off her Vans and steps up on the scale. It reads 131 pounds. The doctor pulls out his stethoscope.
Now lift up your shirt, please.
Karen pulls up her shirt, and the doctor listens to her heartbeat from her back.
Breathe. Again. And again.
Good. You can pull down your shirt.
Oh, it's so cold.
I'm going to want to see you back here in 3 weeks' time. Also, I'm going to recommend putting you in with a therapist because I think there's something going on there at home. Meanwhile, I will write you a script for Prozac. I like this better than the Zoloft. You will take 10 milligrams in the morning. I'm also going to give you 5 milligrams of Valium. Now, that's BID, twice a day as needed for panic attacks. And now, for sleep. I really don't want to give you too much. I know what Valium is. My babushka used to take it after my father died. It always made her very tired. I do not give benzodiazepines for sleep. They can be highly habit-forming, not the preferred method. The new standard of care are sleeping pills, specifically designed for sleep. Make sense?
Yes, sir.
Have you heard of hypnotics? They make you fall asleep and stay asleep. I'm willing to try anything to get better. I have some samples of a new drug, just got approved, called Zephyrex. Hold on a minute. Dr. Adamchek picks up the phone. Jonathan, bring me in samples of Zephyrex, 25 milligrams, 3 weeks worth. Jonathan steps into the office and knocks on the door. As he opens it, he hands the doctor the pills and winks at Karen. The doctor puts the samples in a brown paper bag along with her handwritten prescriptions. Miss Kowalski, you have a wonderful last name and you are going to get better. I guarantee it. Let's see about putting you in with a therapist, but for now, go home, get some rest, take your meds, and we will follow up. He hands her the pills and the scripts. Thank you so much, Doctor. I did not know what to expect. I mean, you're so nice. Everybody here is great. Glad to hear it. Good luck to you. Karen gets up and starts to walk out. Oh, and Miss Kowalski?
Yes?
Whatever you do, don't ever consume alcohol on these medications.
Why? Because you will die, Miss Kowalski.